Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Well, today we start with this parable of somebody scattering seeds. And one person pointed out this is not the most exciting parable. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like someone who scatters seeds, sleeps, gets up, sleeps again, and the seed grows. So they plant, they sleep, and they do nothing. And I think that is my type of gardening. And yet the seeds grow anyway. One scholar, in looking at this parable, pointed to another scripture from 1 Corinthians, where Paul compares the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives to plant growth. Paul writes that one person plants, another waters, but God gives the growth. In the parable of the sower plants, somehow there's water that comes down to water the seeds. Nutrients are in the soil nourishing the plant, but God gives the growth. The growth of these seeds points to the absolutely certain growth and presence of God's kingdom. And I think when we think of kingdom, we think of some far-off place, maybe. But in the Gospels, the word kingdom means the activity, the ruling activity of God. So it's about God's activity in our lives now and in the world that is certain. And I think back on my own life and the many, many, many people through whom God has worked to plant and water and nourish God's word, or to help me experience God's love and God's welcome. People have done that for me, people who I've seen have done that for others and for people in our community. And I think when you look back on your lives, you can think of the same kind of thing. On May Day this year, our elementary group that meets on Wednesday nights during the school year, they made May baskets. And they brought it to people who were within a short walking distance from the church. And I never dreamed that I would get one. And when I came home, there on my step, because I live a short distance from the church, there on my step was this May basket, and that's the first picture there, with that big sign that says, "You matter." What kinds of seeds are being planted, both by the leaders of this elementary group, but also by those students, in going to visit different people and sharing cards like, "You matter." I brought my May basket in, forgot about it, and it dried up, and I tried to water it, and it came back to life. And then it dried up again, and I thought, well, I'll try to plant it, and it came to life, and that's what it grew into, the second picture there. We may plant, we may water, but God gives the growth, even at times when we feel like it's too late. Or I think of the leaders in that elementary group, or those students, the connections that they're making, the loving service they're learning, planting that seed and nurturing it, and who knows what kind of growth God is going to do. When I was in first or second grade, I used to visit a next-door neighbor, and I'm pretty sure that my mom set up those visits. And I remember sitting in this neighbor's living room and talking to her, just her and me. And I remember one May Day, much like our elementary students this year, one May Day placing a May basket on her doorstep, ringing the doorbell, and running and hiding in the bushes until she opened the door and I could jump out and greet her. My mom set up visits like that throughout the years. When I was 4, I remember walking across the hall, and she set up these visits with my neighbor across the hall, Ruth, and I still remember sitting on her couch and talking with Ruth, and Ruth baking coffee cake for me one time when I said, "I'm sorry, I don't drink coffee." And I think, boy, if Ruth could see me now, she could see how things changed. But I remember my mom taking the time when my cousins visited to bring us to deliver meals through Meals on Wheels to people in their homes. And I think that both my mom and my dad tried to plant in us a concern for others, a sense of service, and always, always this assurance that God cares for us and for the people around us. I still remember one Bible story that I learned in Sunday school when I was 4 years old. It was the parable of the Good Samaritan, of someone going out of their way to serve and give generously to help someone in need. And those Sunday school teachers at the time, they didn't know what was going to stick. They just were trying to plant and water, having no idea the ways that God would create growth. There's one Sunday school teacher that I remember very clearly in my life. It was Buford. He was a man who was retired in his 60s, and he would come not having any children or grandchildren of his own in the Sunday school. He came and taught our 7th and 8th grade class. And I think back on that time, and I don't remember what he taught, but I remember him taking the time. I remember his presence with us. That stuck. And looking back now, it means even more when I think back of the time that he gave. One person plants, another waters, but God gives the growth. I think all of us can think back on times in our lives of numerous people, whether it's family or our church family or others, who sought to live God's word, to live faithfully and generously, nurturing that growth in their lives and in the world, helping us know that God's activity is truly near. And you all have done that for me, especially recently. I see you do it for each other and for people in our community. Some plant, some water, God gives the growth. Now, if we go to the second parable that we read today, it was about a mustard seed. And Jesus started it with this question: with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? I can almost guarantee you that no one thought he was going to say mustard seed. They might have thought back to our reading from Ezekiel, God planting this noble tree, you know, this great big huge cedar tree. They might think back to that, God's activity like that. But instead, God says mustard seed. Now, first off, in Jesus' day, nobody would sow or plant a mustard seed. It was seen like a weed that would grow up anywhere and then multiply and kind of take over. And Jesus is saying that's what the kingdom of God is like. It'll crop up anywhere. I kind of picture it, like I mentioned in children's time, like dandelions taking over an untreated lawn. And if they're left to go, they can transform that lawn to look quite different. Is that what the kingdom of God is like? God's activity spreading and spreading and spreading until the whole world is transformed. That might be what we pray for the world to be transformed by God's activity in us and among us, God's activity for new life and grace. The other striking thing with that parable is, though we read that the mustard seed grows up to become a big shrub, in the original language of the scripture, it says that mustard seed grows up to become a vegetable. And while all you gardeners out there might love to have abundant vegetables, it's just not quite as impressive as the cedar tree from Ezekiel. But this parable might remind us that God's activity in our world may start seemingly small, maybe too small to make much difference, but God is working growth, even when we can't see it. Maybe not always growing in the ways we want or expect, not just with what's majestic and impressive, but God's activity can come in small ways, in ways that are nourishing. Like the small seeds planted in our lives by parents, or Sunday school teachers, or older neighbors who are full of wisdom and welcome. Or the seeds that our youth ministry leaders or mentors or students plant. I might have shared this before with you, but this past January, we came back from Christmas break, and I was sitting with one of our elementary students around our supper table here on Wednesday night. It was our first Wednesday back, and she's new this year, just started coming, and I said to her, "So are you glad to be back?" And I meant, "Are you glad to be back at school after break?" And she misunderstood me and thought I meant, "Are you glad to be back at church?" So I said, "Are you glad to be back?" And she said, "Yes, I love coming to church." And I have to note that it's not just those of us who are older that plant seeds for young people, but it can work in reverse. Like, can any of us capture that joy where we come to church and say, "Yes, I love coming to church?" Or this past week, we had our youth breakfast. And this week, we had some students going into 8th grade all the way up to going to 11th. And I remember sitting with them and hearing their insights on the scripture we were talking about and thinking, wow, I never thought of that before. They, too, are nurturing God's kingdom work. No matter how young or old we are, every one of us has gifts to offer. And we don't know what kind of impact's being made, but God gives the growth. I think especially of the seeds of compassion that we might nurture and plant for each other. And not just each other, but the seeds of compassion we might nurture even among those with whom we disagree. These seeds of compassion might seem too small to make a difference. Maybe especially this election year. We know that we have one group of people ready to vote for one candidate, and they believe if the other candidate wins, it's going to be the worst possible thing. And at the exact same time, we have these people voting for this candidate, and if the other candidate wins, it's the worst possible outcome. And I don't want to diminish the complexity of that, but maybe we need a whole lot more seeds of compassion. Small seeds of God's kingdom being planted, not with power and might, but with things like the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, the fruit or seeds of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness with each other, seeds of faithfulness and generosity and self-control. Those are the seeds of God's kingdom. And we see it at work. As we see that, may we trust that those seeds can grow into something far greater than we can imagine, into something that nourishes us and God's world because God gives the growth. May we trust that just as Jesus notes in these parables, God's activity is truly at work, one seed at a time, transforming our lives and this world, even when it's hard to see. May we all plant and water and nourish, but also know that no matter what, even when we fall short, God is going to give the growth. Thanks be to God. Amen.